too. If you'll notice, and I think many of you have, on the left-hand side of Rents.com, you will have seen a banner down there, and it says, Free Pete Santilli. Real simple. Well, if you go look at that banner now, it says, Pete Santilli, charges dismissed! Exclamation point. And indeed, this was a big story yesterday, which, of course, the mainstream media, totally avoided. We didn't. We're very happy. When I saw it, I couldn't believe it. In this country, you're supposedly innocent until proven guilty by a jury of your peers. Well, in the case of Pete Santilli and so many others involved with the Burns, Oregon standoff, as they call it, and certainly the Bundy Ranch issue in Nevada, they've had their liberty and freedom taken away before they have been proven innocent or guilty. It doesn't matter. You are in jail, and if the judge says no to bail, no, you can't get out, or they set a bail that's prohibitive, you lose your liberty. You are actually guilty until you prove yourself innocent. So it's completely asked backward, and we're very happy to say that broadcast journalist Pete Santilli, as of tonight, no longer faces charges in the state of Oregon. The journey for Pete and all of us who support him is not yet finished. He now will be taken. He is still in custody tonight. No, he was not released when they dismissed the charges. He will be taken under armed guard to the state of Nevada, where he will be indicted on a 16-count program put together by the feds. They don't like broadcast journalists, professional journalists, telling America the truth about patriot efforts to take control of this country away from the evildoers in our nation's capital. And that's all these people really ever tried to do, is to stand on the law and make people understand what was being done to them. Hardly a crime. In fact, it's a, in my opinion, a tribute to the highest calling of being a patriotic American, what these people did. When you look at the bigger picture, you begin to see the details. Don't focus on the micro. Look at the macro, always, and never trust the mainstream media. We all know about the planned execution of Lavoie Finicum, as a despicable act as you're ever going to see in a single human being situation. They set him up and killed him. They tried to kill all the people in his SUV. Somehow, some way, they didn't get anyone else. Yeah, they did wound one, at least. But we'll get into that in more detail. Joining us this hour is Pete Santilli's partner in all this, Deb Jordan, who has been standing by and going through this anguish and agony ever since Pete was arrested. Hello, Deb, and welcome back to the program.
Oh, good evening, my friend.
Yeah, I'm still happy. When I saw this story yesterday, I was elated. I can't even imagine how you and Pete feel about this.
Well, you know, I got the news. I have to tell you guys this great story.
Yeah.
I had to leave the courtroom for a few minutes because my throat got really dry and I was coughing. So I didn't want to disrupt. They're being very strict about, you know, noise, because there's so many microphones in the room.
Uh-huh.
That's very distracting, and I didn't want it to distract. And I knew that we were coming close to the end of the session, and I really didn't expect anything spectacular to happen anyway. And once you leave the courtroom, you're not allowed back in. So I walked out and got a drink of water and did my little coughing to clear my throat. And of course, I knew that I wasn't going to be able to go back in. And some of my friends who were sitting with me followed me out and said that they were going to go ahead and go down and be in front of the courthouse and maybe at the car when I was ready to come down, because I said I wanted to stay
right, so
that I could see Pete leave and say goodbye to him. So it was about 5 minutes or so, and maybe 10, and the courtroom doors open. I see the judge adjourn for the day, and I walk in, and people are leaving, and I'm walking back into the courtroom, and I walk up to the bar, and Pete is sitting there with his attorney still. As they often do, they'll talk about what just happened or get ready for the marshals to take take the men out that are still in custody.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the prosecutor walk over and bend down and whisper to Tom, talk to him.
Tom
and
who?
I saw Tom Cohen.
Yeah.
Who was, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
who was Pete's attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And he just looked at him for a second, you know, like he had this look on his face. And he turns around and he looks at Pete and he says something to Pete. And I could tell that Pete was very emotional. And then Tom stood up and Pete stood up and the prosecutor shook Tom's hand and shook Pete's hand. And I could just see that something was happening. And the marshal came over to Pete and they put the handcuffs on his hand. And Pete said, please let me go talk to her. I need to tell her. And they actually let him come over to the bar where I was standing. And he kissed me on the cheek and said, it's over. They dismissed the case against me. And it was, I didn't know how to react, Jeff.
I believe that.
I was completely shocked. Of course I was shaking. You know, I just couldn't believe it. And, his attorney, we got out into the lobby and his attorney gave me the rundown and just said that, you know, and I knew that things had been percolating in the background. Of course I was privy to that and wasn't allowed to say anything.
Right.
But for a couple of months, they've been working on something. I mean, they came to Pete when they came to everybody else and offered him a 6-year global deal. He said no.
Six years.
I won't do that.
6 years.
Yeah, 6-year global deal.
What does global deal mean?
Global deal means they combine the case, the Oregon case, and the Nevada case together. And they offered everybody the first go around 6 years. And Pete said no.
6 years in prison.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, my God.
I know. And then they said, Pete said he would wait it out and he wasn't about to take a 6-year plea, you know. And so right. then, they started seeing Pete's case as the evidence started coming forward. And when you have to reveal your strategy starts getting revealed, things that we had worked on for 7 months, And the government started seeing the case that Pete's brilliant attorney was putting together. And they started going, wow, you know? And they started seeing our witnesses and all of the information that we had. We started seeing what they had against Pete, which was nothing about what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all about what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And it was definitely, at that point, it was quite apparent that it was a First Amendment case. And it wasn't about anything else but what he said. They didn't like what he said. And, they took offense to it. The government didn't like it. The locals, the FBI, the locals in Harney County and the FBI took offense to some of the things that Pete had to say.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided they were going to try to punish him for it and build a case around that. And what's really fantastic about it is that they weren't able to. The judge would not allow them to march in one by one. People from Harney County who were offended by what Pete Santilli said. And she said, no. You can't do that. And it has, if it doesn't matter how they felt, how is that impeding the BLM and the Fish and Wildlife from going to work? So and they said that about everybody, not just Pete. So the other people who are still on trial have that going for them. I think it's going to be rough going for the government, Jeff. I think they're going to have a hard time convicting these men and women. I honestly do.
So what you're saying, Deb, is that the judge got it and could see where this was going. And
yes.
Why waste 6 to 12 more months on this issue, which is completely contrived and beside the point? This is all boiled down to First Amendment rights. It's a constitutional case. And the judge saw that and the government finally figured it out. I guess they knew that. I've never felt, and I told you this the last time we talked, that they could ever win this case against him. He's a professional.
Yes.
Not only is he a professional journalist, but we have a constitution here. And they had no issues except what you say. They didn't like what he uttered, what he said, how he described things. Whatever. It doesn't matter. A lot. I don't like how Hillary Clinton talks. Come on.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
That's right. But you would be far more apt to be arrested for saying something about Hillary Clinton. And then she would for saying something about you. That's
absolutely.
For darn sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, we have, for 8 months, it's been complete hell. I mean, I don't know any other way to describe what we've been through. His attorney is Tom Cohen. His father was a reporter for the Boston Globe. So it was almost like divine intervention that Pete was able to get an attorney who grew up in the realm, in the arena of media and the press. He knew what it was about, and he knew that it was important. And we can say a lot of things about the liberal left, but the one thing that they have honed, and that is the First Amendment. They really believe in that. And, you know, so Tom and Pete are on, as far as their political views, are complete polar opposites. Pete is more of a I wouldn't even call Pete a Trump guy. I don't even know if you could pigeonhole somebody like Pete Silly in any kind of political realm. But he leans more to the far right, and Tom leans to the further left, and being a Bernie supporter, which we teased him about relentlessly, and he was the champ about it. But, you know, he knows the importance of the press, and he knows the importance of the First Amendment and the right to free speech. He was raised on it.
Yeah.
So, Pete was very lucky. He put together a case, for Pete that was foolproof. And there were a lot of other things that I can't talk about still that will spill over into Nevada, but we are looking really good in Nevada too, Jeff. We're looking really good.
Wow. What did the prosecutor say to Pete? Do you remember exactly? Was it just that we're dropping the case against you? Simple? Or was there any more that Pete... I don't want you to say anything you're not supposed to. But they've been after this for months, and for them to walk away from Pete in a way was the big fish. They really wanted to go after him to intimidate the entire so-called alternative media, and they failed.
Yeah, they really went after Pete. If anyone recalls you and I having this conversation 8 months ago when this first happened, you will recall how badly they wanted him. And they went after him really hard. But Tom went back at them the same way. He wasn't as aggressive, but he was very adamant that that Pete was not guilty of what they were charging him of. Tom was saying, you don't have to like what he's saying. You know, he's a journalist, and he didn't cross the line. He didn't go down and occupy the refuge, and he did that for a reason. He did it because, you know, he didn't go down to the refuge because he just didn't think that was the right thing to do for himself.
He made a wonderful decision. A lot of journalists wouldn't. They'd want to ham it up, and they'd want to be there. Pete, for those of you listening, Pete did not occupy the refuge. He went home to where he was staying, at the motel, every evening.
Yes.
He maintained a professional distance from the actual scene of the case and what was going on.
He did, and, you know, but he never once, you know, hid the fact that these were people that he cared about that were occupying that refuge. They were people that it mattered to him what happened to them. And it mattered to him that that they lived through you know, the stand that they were taking.
Right.
And Pete, we touch about it often. You know what? Several times a day, we were extremely, extremely worried that the FBI would and the government would be pushed. The government would push the FBI to the point where they would surround that compound and start taking lives. It's not like it hasn't happened in the United States of America before, Jeff.
Yeah.
Oh, we've had Waco, we've had Ruby Ridge. I mean, and we've had so many things that have happened in the past where the FBI loses patience and just comes in and starts shooting people. It's not like that was a far-fetched idea.
Oh, not at all. And look at the 4.5 right. billion rounds of ammunition that the government, DHS, and other agencies have bought. They didn't buy that for target practice. So your point
exactly.
is well taken.
Yeah, you know, they constantly bring up during this trial, they constantly talk about how much ammunition that they found at the refuge. And you just made the best point ever. Look at all the ammunition they're stockpiling.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's
not just ammunition,
it's
weapons
obvious.
To shoot it.
And weapons.
And these are hollow point .40 caliber. You don't target practice with hollow point ammunition. These are for destroying the human body. That's what they bought.
Yes. That's exactly what they have. It really is. So, you know, I find it kind of ironic that that's one of their major talking points when you enter that courtroom. It's all about all the guns they had and all the ammunition they had. And for me, it's like, you know, when are people going to start waking up and thinking about, well, what about all the guns and ammunition you guys have stockpiled?
How many Americans have United States police officers killed already this year? I think it's over 500.
Yes.
And we're just in September. So,
we're just
come
in
on.
September.
Come on.
Yeah.
This is really a remarkable development that the government would back away when they, and I remember seven, eight months ago, you talking right here about how severely they had a desire to destroy Pete Santilli. This was it.
Oh my gosh.
They were rabid about it. It was something that I was stunned yesterday. And you must have had an amazing night last night trying to reconcile this, because you've been on this format of supporting and working with Pete and Tom for all these months, and all of a sudden they throw a switch. It's
but
done.
You know, it wasn't always that sudden. From the very beginning, Tom approached them within that first week and told them that they needed to dismiss this case. He said, this is a First Amendment issue. This man is a journalist, and you guys don't have a case against him, because I'm telling you right now, I've sat down and talked to him, and he's telling the truth. And Tom did that over and over and over again while he was building his case. He never stopped telling them that they needed to do the honorable thing and suck it up and say, we messed up. You know, I saw some remarks out there that said, well, you know, they're not saying that the accusations against Pete were false. They're saying that they just didn't have the evidence to prove it. And I'm like,
what?
Are you really? People are really going there. They are seriously going there, you know, out there in liberal land. But, you know, I mean, Pete was exonerated. There's a few people out there who are kind of butthurt about that. But, you know what, he worked hard. And it didn't happen just overnight. Mm. It took 8 months, and he was in hell that 8 months. And now we've got to go down to Nevada and do the same thing. So he's not out of the woods by any means. But I'll tell you what, we feel really good going into Nevada after yesterday's ruling.
Any of the same government people involved with the Nevada proceedings as you faced in Portland?
Yeah, they're actually all in bed together, if we want to call it that way. But okay, let me be a little bit more professional
diplomatic
about that.
Whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've been the prosecution in both Nevada and in Oregon have become very cohesive.
I got it. It's a machine,
so they're,
sure.
Right, it is a machine. That's exactly right. And they are both working together. But in the same respect, Pete's attorney from Nevada has been working closely with Tom. So the only thing is we don't have the resources mm-hmm. that the government has. Mm-hmm. Do you know that we found out that they have spent $100 million just for the case in Oregon?
Including all the defendants.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. $100 million of our money. Mm-hmm. All right. It continues. It continues. Now it'll... It'll go to Nevada. How are they going to transport him, and when will he be moved? Do we know? Are they going to let him out even for a day to spend with you?
No. No. They took him into immediate custody. What everybody should know here is that Oregon released Pete they let everybody else go free. They let everybody else go home with an ankle bracelet, and to spend their time, all the people that they've let go, and most of them have even lost the ankle bracelet by now. They don't even have to wear that anymore. But Pete was different. For some reason, the government wanted to paint the picture of Pete being a violent offender. He was a violent man, thanks to some of the rhetoric that goes out there on the internet.
Yeah.
They built their case by the trolls out there on the internet. That's exactly what they all acted like, the prosecution in the beginning. Mm-hmm. That they used troll logic and said that Pete was, they were afraid of his violent nature and all of these things. So the judge, Pete was the only one who the judge said would have to get a mental evaluation, and if he passed that, then he would only be allowed to go to a halfway house so they could assess him before they could let him go home. Can you believe that?
It's crazy.
I know. And so then Pete gets so because he got released, Nevada stepped in right away and took custody of him. The marshals, the
right
United
there on
States
the
marshals,
spot.
Right on the spot, immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And then Stephen Myrie, who is the prosecutor, the guy who's prosecuting this case in Nevada, came all the way up to Oregon to argue the point that Pete was too violent to let go. And so Oregon kept him. And then finally, they ship Pete down to Nevada to face the judge down there. And he tries one more time for a pretrial release. She says, oh, no, he's way too violent, way too violent. And then, you know, we took it to the Ninth Circuit of Nevada, the Ninth Circuit Court. And they referred it back to Navarro, Gloria Navarro, who's the judge who's presiding over the case in Nevada, nominated by Harry Reid and appointed by Barack Obama. And, being completely 100% non-budging. And she won't let any of these men go. And there's not a violent one in the bunch.
She's been instructed, clearly. And they got somebody who will do as she's told.
Oh, yeah.
Stand by, Deb. We have to pause for just a couple of minutes. Talking to Deb Jordan, and again, if you don't know, the Oregon charges against Pete Santilli were dropped yesterday. Pete will now have to go to Nevada and face a 16-count indictment there. So we're halfway there, I guess, is one way to look at it. We'll come right back. Okay, and back with Deb Jordan. So Pete Santilli has made it halfway. Now he's got to go to Nevada, which will be probably as difficult. However, with a precedent set, we will see. What Deb said earlier about how they really hated Pete because they claimed he was sympathetic to the occupiers at the refuge. Well, I would just ask any of those people, how has the so-called mainstream media served the best interests of America by mollycoddling, protecting, supporting endorsing and hiding the crimes of Hillary Clinton. The mainstream media is so guilty of protecting a true felon, a true criminal. If Pete had patriotic sympathies toward this position, understanding about the BLM, and that a lot of the land in question up there at the ranch in Nevada, in Burns, actually, apparently, is involved with the Clinton uranium deal to Russia. And you gotta follow the news. We've had that story on here. So, I would have loved to have seen a trial. I don't want Pete incarcerated a minute longer, but a journalist after journalist would have gone up there, and the last night before Lavoie Finicum was murdered, in case you don't remember, ladies and gentlemen, Pete was on this program for an hour, and a finer hour description of the situation up there could not be given. A consummate professional, perfectly explained, and yet the next day he's arrested. Lavoie Finicum dies. And I asked Pete on the program that night, how much longer? And he said, not much longer. In other words, before something happens. And it happened the very next morning. When did they actually take Pete into custody after Lavoie was murdered?
They took Pete into custody within just a couple of hours. It happened on the 26th. It was toward evening. It was kind of confusing in Burns because the sun went down so early. But within a few hours, Pete went out to the FBI compound and said, can I speak to someone? And they threatened him there. And boy, you talk about hair raising. You could hear the helicopters flying overhead. And I just knew we were in deep trouble. We had heard someone had, that they had been pulled over and that someone had been killed and another wounded. And everyone that was in that convoy was taken into custody. And it was a very stressful, intense time. And so Pete, he was so afraid that they were going to go out there and surround that compound and start killing people. He really was. So he went out to the FBI compound that was set up in the airport there in Burns. Mm-hmm. And, he was begging them, and they were just threatening him. They were telling him, don't come any closer. They were ready to shoot him right there on the spot. I'm surprised they didn't, really.
No one would have gotten in trouble for it. We know that much for sure.
No, they wouldn't have. They had their opportunity right there. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't getting anywhere with the FBI. So he drove back up and into town and went up to the high school and which is right next to the sheriff's department. Mm-hmm. And he saw some agents standing there with local law enforcement, and he walked up to them. And he was asking them, please let me go up there, get a convoy together, get some people together, and let me go up there and talk to these, to the people that are left up there.
There were only six left, I think, right? Five or six?
No, everyone was still up there.
Oh, they were
everyone
all still there then. Still, oh, that's right. Yeah. Later on, it reduced to about five or six. Okay.
Yeah, so I think it reduced down in at the very end to the final, what they call the final four.
Yeah.
So he was telling them, let me go up and talk to them, and at the very least, let us get to keep the women and children out, because there were children up there, and there were women, and we knew that when the news hit up there that everybody was going to panic. They took out everyone. If you want to call it a leadership position, they took all of those people out. And we knew that they were going to be getting the news any minute that Mr. Finicum had been murdered and that somebody else had been shot. And we knew that it was, had a potential for some chaos. And, Pete just wanted to go up there and calm everybody and try to get as many people out as he possibly could and get them to safety, especially the women and children. Mm-hmm. And they feigned they were listening to him, and they appreciated it. And thank you, Mr. Santilli. And, okay, well, let us go over here and talk about it. And they walked back up to him and said, you're under arrest. And that was it. They shackled him, and Pete hasn't seen freedom since.
Wow. That was a very brave thing for him to do, to go up to the FBI headquarters where they were compounded, and then go back into town, still trying to get out there to get those people to safety.
It was one of the scariest moments of my life. I'll tell you that right now. It really was.
I have no doubt. None. He has lost 7 months of his life, so to speak.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know where this system of ours went wrong, but how is it that an innocent man can lose 7 months of his life and potentially, or a woman, all of their assets, lose their home, their property, their jobs, everything, and not have done anything wrong? And I mean, I would have been more than happy, as you know, to go up there and testify had there been a trial on his behalf.
Absolutely.
I mean, I would have been right there. This is just so wrong. And I just wonder what is going to translate to Nevada. These prosecutors have been obviously tied hip at the hip. They know exactly what each other has been doing, pretty much, especially Nevada knowing what Oregon's been doing. We'll have to see. If they're smart, they'll do the same thing in Nevada. They could separate Pete. He's a journalist. This is First Amendment. He was on this program from the Bundy Ranch and did a marvelous job.
Yeah.
So we go way back on this thing. And I know what kind of work he does. I mean, for those of you who don't know, Pete had a program on this network for about 2.5 years almost, I guess. He is Pete Santilli. He's his own man. And that's the way it should be. That's what this country is supposedly all about.
And you're not kidding. And you know, when we had our producer bring us the Clive and Bundy story. It was a story I think that Susan Duclos on Before News had put out there, and we read it. And she brought it to Pete, Ashley did, and she says to Pete, you know, you need to read this story. This is horrific what they're doing to this rancher. And Pete reads it, and he looked at her, and he said, well, what do you want me to do with that? And she said, I think we should bring this man on the show. And Pete said, I don't think people are going to care about cows. And she said, Pete, this is more than about cows. This is about land rights. Mm-hmm. This is a land issue. And Pete got himself educated. And then I believe the following day she came back to him and said, what about it? Do you want me to try to call this Mr. Bundy? I've got his information, and I'm just waiting for you to tell me whether or not you would like to have him on the show. And Pete said, well, go ahead, but, you know, I don't think that people are going to be really all that interested in cows and land issues and this and that. So Ashley booked Mr. Bundy on the show, and, you know, he heard Cliven's story, and he heard the truth in that man. And so Pete said, you know what? He called and said, he called us a little later, and he said, I've been really thinking about this, and Cliven Bundy, while he was on the show, said that, you know, he was prepared to die. He said, I guess they'll end up shooting me in the back, and nobody's paying any attention to me. The sheriff won't help us. The State Highway Patrol literally turns their back on us. They had already beaten his son. He told us that they had snipers set up on the cliffs, trained on their family.
Right.
And that they had set up a free speech zone. So Pete had never been out in the field before, ever. He had never left the studio. And the Bundy family lived about 3.5-4 hours away from him. And he said to us, he said, I think I'm going to drive out there and see if these people are telling me the truth. I want to see if this guy's telling me the truth. And so Pete packed up his iPad. He didn't have much in those days because he'd never been out in the field before. And he went to the Bundy Ranch, and they had a sign because they knew he was coming. He called them and told them he was coming. They had a sign that said, Pete Santilli's here. And Pete saw it all for himself. He saw the snipers. He saw the free speech zone.
Yeah.
He saw the bruises on Clive and Bundy's son's face. And then almost immediately they went up to, you know, the family told Pete they were going to go up and confront the BLM, and Pete went up to record that, and recorded he did. And Fox News picked up the video. Mm-hmm. That Pete put out there on YouTube, and the rest is history. And mm-hmm. that video, we're finding out now in the discovery, that video is what the government is basing their whole case on. That and some recordings that he secretly recorded of Daniel P. Love, the special agent in charge. But that video, they're saying that Pete lied, that he spread lies with that video, that he incited with that video. They're charging Pete with brandishing a firearm, Jeff, and he never picked one up. And the government explains it like this. Well, he may have not picked up a gun, but that video that he put out there caused other people to.
Oh, amazing. Well, I guess that pretty well condemns journalism. We should never say anything about anything that might cause people to become interested take a position, or heaven forbid, actually get involved. This was a terrible case. I remember it very well. I think when Pete was on, it was on once or twice. I can't remember. And I talked to Ammon. I talked to Cliven. Just fine people. And you knew, just listening to their voices, that what was going on there was horrible. And then I found out that they were shooting the Bundys' cattle from government helicopters, among other things.
They absolutely were.
This is nuts. This is the United States government. Yeah. Well, look at Waco, okay? And that goes back to Janet Reno didn't have the guts to do what she was told, which was to go in there and burn those people up. So Hillary made the decision. Reno resigned shortly thereafter. So we go back again to Hillary Clinton. This country has been in the hands of abject evil for too long. Too long.
Yeah.
We can't take it anymore.
And let me tell you something, Jeff. Since we've already seen the discovery from Oregon, you can see exactly the same thing was happening in the background in Oregon.
Uh-huh.
The emails from Kate Brown, the governor of Oregon, her emails were released for that time, and you can see where the government was. You know, where the local government started pressuring the governor, and the governor started pressuring Loretta Lynch, and Loretta Lynch started pressuring Barack Obama.
Yeah.
You can see it happen, and then you can see the order come down, the chain of command. And they were saying, you know, people were saying to Loretta Lynch, you better stop this. And then Loretta Lynch said, we got to stop this. It's a virus. It's spreading. And there's no doubt about it that the info war there was being won. I mean, the message was getting out, and people were starting to be swayed and starting to understand what was happening in Burns. And it wasn't just about a land issue. It was about how people were being treated by
abused.
The government. Yeah, and abused, and a lot of that is contributed to the information that Pete Santilli was putting out there, and that's why he got arrested.
That makes him the bad guy, of course, in the government's game. They don't want to be found
out. Right.
Pete revealed the truth, which
he
is
did.
What journalism is supposed to be all about.
It is. Pete is an advocacy journalist. It's journalism at its purest form, you know, and it's the most dangerous kind of journalism that you can do. I mean, there are journalists all over the world.
Oh, they're
all
dead.
All over the world.
They die.
Right. Either dead or sitting in prison.
Yeah.
And, you know, when did we become Iran? And when did we become China? Where we put our journalist, our advocacy journalist, in jail for telling the truth.
You
and that's
see,
what our country's come to.
Right. You want to see advocacy journalism. Look at the mainstream media and Hillary Clinton. It's obscene what's been going on.
You know, you're absolutely right. They advocate for that woman every single day. They do.
I'm appalled at what I see. I never thought I'd see such overt, blatant, grotesque obvious efforts to shill for somebody. These are not journalists. I forgot who coined the term, but they're prostitutes. They're whores is what they are. And
yeah,
that's
a great word.
Yeah. I wish I remember who said that. All right. Let's go back to the situation at hand now. When does Pete get transported, or is he already in Nevada?
He is still here in Oregon, and he could be transported at any time. It could be, but they usually do it in the middle of early morning, like 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. They'll usually do it then. So by the time they make it to Las Vegas, it's just turning daylight, and he will go under heavy guard. He's still under the he's still considered a criminal.
Deb, he's innocent until proven guilty. He can't be considered a criminal.
Oh no, he is.
Unreal.
He
absolutely
is.
I understand exactly what you're saying. This will be heard in Las Vegas and not Reno?
No, this is Las Vegas. So he will be transported to Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure whether they will put him in Henderson, the Henderson Detention Center, which is right outside of Vegas.
Right.
Whether they will put him in the Pahrump Detention Center, which is more like a prison. I don't know which one they're going to put him in. I know the other gentlemen that are down there, the other Patriots that are down there are in Pahrump right now.
Really?
But,
that's a long drive back and forth if they have to start going to court.
You aren't kidding. It's a long drive, and they transport these guys, and every single time it's under heavy guard, and it's just unbelievable what they're doing to these men. I mean, these men have been so tortured in their soul that they've actually taken plea bargains already. And it's a shame because the first motion in this trial in Nevada, Jeff, has not even been made yet. Not even the first motion, and these guys are already pleading out.
How can the human soul absorb that much horror without, literally, they're choosing life over death by taking a plea bargain? They're going to die spiritually, and many will die physically much sooner than they should. It's too much. It's too much for some people. I don't begrudge any of them that. If they need to do it, fine. Maybe they'll get out earlier than the plea bargain sentence. Let's hope.
Yeah, it's not just about them being incarcerated. You're right. They will die much sooner than they would have. Because of the food that they feed them. It's all GMO food. There's nothing healthy about it. They don't have the opportunity. And remember, a lot of these guys who are taking pleas, they're just taking pleas to do 6 years of straight time with no schooling, no extracurricular, anything. No rehabilitation. They're just doing the 6 years. Because that's the way the government wants it.
This is really sad to hear on so many levels. It's just sad for our country, sad for our people. Not one shot was fired. The Bundys did nothing except defend their home, their land. And we look up in Burns, and again, I repeat, and I did run the story, there was an enormous uranium deal made with Russia. Something like 20% of our uranium was sold to Russia, and a lot of it is allegedly under the ground at the ranch in Burns, the Hammond Ranch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a country. And Jeff, I won't say where you're at, but you're from this neck of the woods in the general states, that's around this area. So you know that this country here and the Pacific Southwest is rich in minerals, and the government wants it. I mean, that's why they hoard all of this land until the public forgets about it.
They have no right to this land. It's the people's land. The Pacific Northwest is mineral rich, and how much of it is controlled and owned by the government, and what is the justification? I don't understand it.
I think it's Nevada, I think, like 80% of Nevada.
It's a huge amount. A lot of it's military, but the majority is BLM.
Yeah, it's owned by the government, and I believe like 60%. I could be wrong about that.
No, you're right.
Somewhere
it's big.
Around in there, of Oregon is owned by the United States, or controlled by the United States government, public land, and managed, should I say.
Right.
So it's just horrific out here, and Oregon is one of these states where, you know, if you don't have a government job, you don't have anything. You know, if you have a business that depends on the government workers who come in and patronize your shop or your store, and they get mad at you, they just start coming into your store and you go under. And that's how they do it out here. It is communist.
Right.
That's what communism is all about.
That's right.
And it's alive and well in the state of Oregon.
I hate to say it, but you're 100% right. And most people wouldn't mm-hmm. think that of Oregon. Oh, it's beautiful up there. No. It's got a real, real ugly political agenda. And that's
mm-hmm.
that's an understatement. Look up Bureau of Land Management. Understand how they operate. That's what this is really all about. It's about taking more privately owned land for the mineral rights that are under it or on it, whatever the situation
yeah.
might be. What is our immediate calendar, timetable then for proceedings in Nevada?
Okay, so this is the sad part, okay? Now Pete, if he is not given his pretrial release, which we're not hopeful of, I'm going to tell everybody straight up, we're not hopeful because of the situation and because of the judge and who she is. He is looking at having to sit in jail until February when the case in Nevada is supposed to get started.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's sad.
Is he going
it's
to be
awful.
Tried independently of the others who are standing trial, or will he be included in that group? How are they going to do it?
Right now he's included. I know in Nevada they refuse to let anybody sever, and I'm thinking they're going to do the same thing. I mean, I'm sorry, in Oregon they
yeah.
refuse to let people sever, and I am anticipating that it will be the same way in Nevada. They've already actually said that
mm-hmm.
you know they don't want people to sever in Nevada because they want to try everybody together
mm-hmm.
because it makes it a complex case
right.
and they can get by with all kinds of stuff. One person is guilty, everybody else is too, and that's the way it is. It's human nature for a jury, a group of people, to look at everybody and say, oh my goodness, well, if Cliven Bundy is guilty, then everybody else is guilty. Or if Pete Santilli is guilty, then Ammon Bundy must be guilty. It's human nature, and they depend on that.
I hope that there is a way to get him severed. This is an entirely different phase of this whole proceeding, and it should be separate. But as you say, this judge is doing what she does, and I think she's been told what to do from much higher ups, and she's going to do it because her future depends on it. And that's what it's really ultimately about.
Right.
All right, you say hello to Pete for me and for everybody out here that cares. There are an awful lot of them, and you've been through a lot, Deb, and thank you. That was a very, very complete and articulate presentation. You brought us up to speed. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Okay.
We'll see you soon, Jeff.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay, Deb. Good night. All right, Deb Jordan and the story of Pete Santilli, now no longer facing charges in Oregon, but Nevada is just ahead.